T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All my wolves begin to howl, wake me up, the time is now. Whoa, can you hear the trumpet? Whoa, there's a revolution coming. Wild things that turn me on, drag my
Well, yes, here we go. Another day, another virus. Welcome to WTIC. Remember when, it must have been like the second day, third day of coronavirus, and somebody called up irate, first call, yelling at me for covering coronavirus. That's all we hear about. I said, get used to it, dude. This is the story. And here we are, doing it again. The president. Did you hear the president? He's tired of this corona thing. And while I don't agree with him 100% in terms of right now, he's not saying right now. He's saying this is going to be weeks, not months. Let's wake up to reality.
We're going to open up our country, and it's going to be fairly soon.
Weeks or months?
Because you seem to be I'm not looking at months, I can tell you right now. Our country wasn't built to be shut down.
I love that. Our country wasn't built to be shut down. This is a capitalist country, the feistiest, most aggressive, most successful capitalist country in the history of mankind, lifted more people out of poverty than have ever even been in poverty. And yeah, he's right. It's an economic engine that the world depends on. And if you start, if this lasts too long, the bricks falling out of the wall become so frequent, become so big in the hole they're creating, in the undermining of the strength, that the whole thing could collapse, or it could be damaged in such a way that it could take years. We haven't really talked about that. I haven't heard anybody say, so let me say it. This is going to take decades to recover from. It's going to take forever to recover from. It's going to be a long rebuilding process. Not that at whatever point this ends, we won't be ready to take off, and the stock market won't keep going up, and investment won't pour in, and people won't take over those abandoned restaurants and all that. But it takes time to rebuild. Ironically, while this is a horrible thing to go through, it may be the kind of thing we need, the sort of cleansing that people have been waiting for. That is a chance for some of that which has been built up to fall away so that things can be reconfigured a little bit. I think part of the frustration about our society over the past, I don't know, decade, 12 years, since Obama, I guess, but maybe longer, is that feeling that every piece has been put in place. Everything is owned. Every pattern of influence has been defined. Every back channel has been duly hidden. I mean, look at the situation in the state of Connecticut, where you have this malicious ruling party that's just ruled for decades. And the cover story is protected for the most part by the media. And they've got their act down. They just repeat the same lines all the time. And voters are aligned blindly on one side or the other, and fixed in place for the most part. And there's something about that whole process that's controlled by this flow of money going from the corporate titans to the ruling class. And that's true of both parties, Republican thing. Democrats, obviously, of Connecticut have their friends with finances. Just look at Ned. This makes no sense to me. Ned announced yesterday 60,000 computers he's going to give to poor school students who are on the school lunch program. Isn't that interesting? School lunch program. What kind of neighborhoods are those? What kind of neighborhoods are those where Ned's going to be giving away computers? He's going to be giving away computers to Democratic neighborhoods, to the children of voters. Where's he getting these computers? He's getting them from the Dalio Foundation. The Dalio Foundation kicks in $100 million. We the people kick in $100 million. $200 million that can be used to funnel things to Ned, to give to voters, to rig elections. It's a little creepy how obvious they feel they can be about it. Anyway, part of what's going on right now is a taking apart of some of these pieces that have been put in place. And maybe that's going to work out for the best.
Our country wasn't built to be shut down. This is not a country that was built for this. It was not built to be shut down. America will again and soon be open for business. Very soon. 3 or 4 months that somebody was suggesting. A lot sooner. We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. We're not going to let the cure be worse than the problem.
I love that line. That's an important line. Doug Chester, he says this thing's over. Is that what you're saying, Doug? This is the last day of the virus?
Hey, hello. I always wanted to talk to you. Just wanted to remind everybody.
Can you pick up the phone?
Yeah, I think I did.
Oh, really? It sounds like you're on a phone. It sounds echoey and horrible.
Yeah, I'm on a Bluetooth piece.
Yeah, so. Can you pick up?
Can I actually pick up, like, put you on speaker? I can't.
Well, put us on something where we can hear you. He cut us off. Call back, Doug. Sorry about that. When you call, it's best not to be on a Bluetooth device because you really don't know this about your Bluetooth device, but it's not great. Just because they add echo, kind of sound like we just heard. But I think what Doug was going to argue is that the virus is winding down. And there are signs of it not being quite as vicious as it appeared to be and has been built. And there are also signs that really bad stuff is happening and we're not out of the woods yet. So all this is going on at once, as is, I think, the need for us to be vigilant in our social, what do you call it? Social networking? No, anti-networking. Social disclosure, social isolation. I can never remember that word. I'm good at it, though. I know I'm good at it. That's the thing. Yeah, we have to keeping our hands off each other. Certain groups of people, I think, eventually, what this will morph into, I believe, after we get through the first wave, because, you know, it'll probably go away over the summer and then maybe be back in the fall. And sometimes the second one, sometimes the second wave is worse than the first. You never know. Let's give Doug another try here. Hi, Doug.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, sir, to everybody.
Good evening. It's nice to talk with you.
Especially the women out there. It's like so cool to talk to you. Thanks.
It's particularly cool to talk to the women who are listening. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's particularly cool to talk to everybody to get a just relax and everything's going to be okay call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what's your feeling about the virus?
I think it's me personally. I think it's like similar to a flu, and like I think everybody with a good immune system can defeat that. And I want to share with you and all of your listeners that, like, an important immune system is, like, number one importance right now. I just wanted to share that with my good listeners, good, like, you got to eat the rainbow, you know, and, like, anybody listening will understand.
All right, so, Doug, as long as everybody listening will understand. I think he's my producer Mike is asking what you're up to, and I think you're auditioning, right? You want a show here at TIC?
Well, I'd like to say hello to the world.
Well, you've done that. You know, we've already accomplished that. Thank you. Thank you so much for the call. Bob in Manchester. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Todd, how are we doing this afternoon? So my whole thought on the Chromebook thing is that pawn shops ought to be starting to run ads pretty soon saying, please stop bringing them to the pawn shop.
Because they'll have no value, you mean?
Yeah, no, because they'll just start pawning them. I mean, they need money more than they need Chromebooks in a poor neighborhood. So they'll just start ending up pawning off the Chromebooks.
But politically, you know, the Democrats, this is their business model, is to figure out how to divert public money into their personal hands, their campaign hands. And it's legal, and it's legal to take as much money for your campaign as you want from a special interest. It's just, you're just not allowed to do it the old-fashioned way, to have the money go straight into your pocket. But if your life is about the pursuit of power, I'm not sure that that's a distinction with a difference. The result of that is that they use the fact that they hold elected positions to make sure they keep holding elected positions. They take all the power and all the prestige and all the cash and rig elections. And to me, this is just obvious. I can't believe he had the gall to announce it, coming from the Dalio Foundation, which they made special rules. They passed a law breaking the law for the Dalios so that he could get this money, which he's using as a personal campaign slush fund now.
Isn't there some kind of wording in that whole foundation thing where they're not allowed to say anything about where they're going to use their money or anything else? You're not allowed to say anything about that it's all secret unless they want they decide to do it.
Oh, that could be. I don't recall.
No. Okay. Well, you have a good day.
It's devious, though. Thank you for the call, Bob. 860-522-9842. Isn't that devious? Seriously. Ray Dalio gives $100 million. We had to wonder why he was doing it. Now we know. It's to help his buddy Ned control elections. Maybe up his popularity. Maybe help his party in the midterm elections so he will maintain some influence after the November elections. 860-522-WTIC. Stay with us on News Talk 1080. So there's nothing wrong, I don't think. Do you think there's anything wrong with what the president said? For him saying he's not going to wait around forever and let the economy crumble? Shouldn't that position be represented in the midst of all this? 860-522-9842. Hi, you're on WTIC. Who's...
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
This is Jim. Is this Todd?
Jim, what's happening?
Not much. Hey, I'm in the car, hands-free.
I'm in the studio. Mic on.
So, you know, there's a lot of talk, obviously, about the virus and how it spread, and it's really impacting the elderly and what we thought was the young at first, but it seems like they're impariable a little bit. But I'm just wondering, we haven't really talked much about what we can do to really ramp up and kind of give our immune system that boost that it needs as we're all sheltering sort of in place. You know, I just think that, you know, outside of obviously staying healthy, staying active, but I mean, is there vitamins, is there ways that we can really do? I don't know if maybe there's some medical professionals that could help people understand what are the best things to do to help our immune system. That's all.
I don't know. It's funny you mentioned that. I was at a friend's house last weekend, and he was opening a box he'd gotten from one of those vitamin pill manufacturers, and he had he had one after the other. I couldn't keep track of what they were. So I'm thinking I'll text him and find out what he recommends. But the exercise is one of the things that does make you healthy. And I was thinking about it today because I haven't been to the gym in, I don't know, a week and a half. And it's kind of a bummer in this. This would be the perfect time to be going to the gym.
Yeah, absolutely. Or at least doing some of that exercise at home. But, yeah, no, I agree. You know, maybe taking vitamins and just staying healthy, making sure we're getting well-balanced intake as well as exercise. So I just didn't know if anyone else out there wanted to share any knowledge they had, you know, from the medical side, what really helps build a strong immune system besides just some of the basics.
That's all. Jim, popcorn is the other thing I would recommend.
Yeah, there you go.
It has a lot of energy, you know. Thank you, Jim. Good to talk with you. We've got Jim in Florida. Hi, Jim.
Hi. You know, this pandemic, you know, many years ago, when there was a, I think it was a terrible tornado, tore up some state out in the Midwest, and I called up Jim Vicevich and told him we're not prepared for any big disasters, and he didn't agree with me. But anyway, No, he didn't. You know, I told him the response to that tornado was poor. Even Katrina was poor. And I told him, you know, it's only a question of time when a major earthquake is going to hit California. I don't think we have a solid plan in place to address thousands of people getting killed and injured. And, you know, it's a shame.
Jim, even if we have the plans, we don't have the ability to execute the plans.
Well, I disagree with you. General Honore, down when he stepped in down in New Orleans, there was order, there was problems got addressed and got fixed.
I'm saying in general that the reason we don't have plans in place is because we don't have effective government in place. It's not that there aren't some people in some places who know what to do, and especially in hurricane zones or flood zones, they've been through it and they know the routine. But in general, my feeling is our elected officials don't know how to run anything. Why would they? And they don't even know how to do the job that we think they're doing because they just spent time trying to figure out how to get reelected.
Well, I can't disagree with you on that. And just I'll end my comments with this. You couldn't say it better in terms of, not that the Republicans are squeaky clean on this, incentive. And I don't know, have the right name for the bill, the bill they're trying to pass to help.
The bailouts, you
know, yeah. The bailout. Well, the Democrats want to add every ticky-tack, titty, you know, everything but the kitchen sink to it.
No, big socialist stuff they want to add, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's terrible. I called up my congressman and both senators and said, get a little profile and courage and stand up to your Democratic senators and congressmen that don't want to do the right thing and help the working man. Thank you.
You're right, Jim. It's actually a wonderful opportunity for Republicans when Democrats are so clearly and blatantly being brazenly political and unpatriotic. Yeah, bust them on it. Stand there and don't pass it. Say no rigging of elections in this bill. This bill is just for the saving of America right now. 860-522-9842. That's what I think they should do.
A lot sooner. We cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. We're not going to let the cure be worse than the problem.
That's what we should not do. Agree or disagree. 860-522-9842. And what do you think about bailout bills where the fighting and the wrestling is about what special favors for your voters you're going to put in there? Stay with us on WTIC.
Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people. Power to the people.
It's WTIC. Doesn't matter what President Trump says, he gets ripped apart in the news media.
Work a little bit harder. You can clean your hands five times more than you used to. You don't have to shake hands anymore with people. That might be something good coming out of this, although I must tell you, as a politician, it's a lot warmer when you walk into a crowd and you're shaking a lot of people's hands. You love those people.
I'd agree with you.
They love me and I love them. You know?
That's the president. He has an endearing side of him. He also, I was watching his press conference yesterday or the day before, and I was thinking, this guy is a really smart guy. It's interesting how the Democrats, they always label Republicans as dumb. Reagan was dumb. Bush was too dumb to be president, and he was religious. To them, that proved it, that he was dumb. And now Trump is dumb. But if you listen to Trump's ability to engage on these issues, I was actually thinking about it compared to Jolly Ned, because Jolly Ned had just had that press conference a couple of days before in which he forgot what he was doing and where he was in the middle of it and just stopped talking for an unbearably long time. And I thought, you know, when you're doing something like that, when that's your job, you should be just in love with the moments when you get to stand up in front of the media and take questions. That's a glorious moment. And ironically, the media used to judge a president by how much he was willing to go before the media, because it was, they thought they were so big and scary that presidents were afraid to talk to them. And I think a lot of presidents were. Trump stands there for a couple of hours. He doesn't care. In history, I don't think there's been a president who spent as much time taking questions from the media as he has. And he's totally comfortable. And he knows the information. He's familiar with what they're referring to. There's no lack of intellectual faculty there. There may be issues of interest and concentration and things like that. But this guy's got it all going on in terms of intellect. Bob's calling from Enfield. Hi, Bob.
We've forgotten about Joe Biden. You know, I forgot he's even running. But anyways, I agree with Trump. You know what the real priority is, the flu virus.
Hang on a sec. Why did you mention that about Joe Biden? What's your thought about that?
He's been out of the picture for, I don't know, a week and a half or 2 weeks. I mean,
yeah, the Democratic campaign has disappeared, and it's a really interesting moment because for the Democrats, they're really excited because they just wanted to be able to end this election, and they did it really quickly. But it's really good for Trump in terms of the general election, I think.
Well, they're going to have to call Joe up and say, hey, Joe, we want to remind you, you're still running for president.
Actually, he was on TV today. Listen.
What do you say to Americans who feel that Democrats are, in a way, politicizing the issue and that we should be standing behind the president because this is an American problem?
I think there's truth to both sides. That's why, if you notice on what I've been doing, I've not been criticizing the president, but I've been pointing out where there's disagreement as to how to proceed.
Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it, Bob? Because I think he's spent a lot of time attacking Trump. But anyway, go ahead and make your point about the president, if you like.
Well, no, the president's right. We should be concentrating our effort on the flu virus because 2 months ago, it killed 23,000 people. Now it's up to 38. That's 15,000, and we only 4,000 lost their lives to coronavirus. So what should be the priority? The flu virus affects the elderly, too. So, but anyways, you know, let me tell you, when I was in junior high school, my science teacher says, your body, you use it or lose it, and that pertains to your immune system. Let your immune system do its job. Don't try to... We're using these antibacterial and everything. We're putting our immune system asleep. We need the immune system. It's not going to wake up.
So you're saying, right. I agree with you in general, but it hadn't occurred to me that during the time of the plague being, you know, going on, that you would think it's wise to still expose yourself to germs. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because your body learns to fight these germs, and you grow an immunity to them.
But we're old. Don't you think our immune systems have learned how to fight?
They're still working. Listen, all this is anecdotal.
Yeah, it's interesting, Bob. I don't know. Thank you so much for the call. It is. It hadn't occurred to me that you're better off. We know in general that there are theories out there that you're that we don't expose ourselves to enough germs anymore. And that leads our internal military, you know, the army that fights off the invaders in our bodies. They don't know what to do with themselves, so they start fighting amongst themselves, and autoimmune deficiencies and things like that pop up. But it hadn't occurred to me that during the plague we should be keeping ourselves exposed to germs. I don't know if that's true or not. It sounds risky to me just because there's one germ we want to really kill, so it's worth messing around with the spraying the antibacterial stuff. Thomas in Watertown, hi there.
Hi, Todd. Two comments. One is I support the president regarding 19 days will be Easter. And I think I've been watching this map for the last couple 10 days. You see where the hot spots are, and there's places where nothing's really happening or there's no increase. But you can't keep this economy shut down for months. And my second comment is regarding the Democrats in Washington. The Republicans are trying to throw a lifeline to the American people, and the Democrats are trying to remake the country with gender and racial quotas, greenhouse gas emissions, wind and solar tax credits, free internet, free county newspapers, affirmative action. As you said, a Democratic playbook is don't waste a good crisis.
Yes, and make sure you use it to rig elections, and that is what they're up to. Thank you, Thomas. Yes, none of that crap should be inside of these measures that are being passed right now. The idea that they're trying to make a stand for things on behalf of the AOC and the extreme left wing, that's just outrageous. This is not a political bill. And the trouble with these things, and the thing I've been warning about, is don't encourage them to be passing these emergency pieces of legislation, because this is what they do. They're politicians. They live for these opportunities. Bob in Madison, hi.
Hey, Todd. I agree with a lot of the callers, and I agree with the president. I think that, this virus, whether it's going to be contained in those 19 days, but I'm glad he's being optimistic about it, because I think that's what the country needs right now, a little shot of optimism, because the media is freaking everybody out. You know, my daughter-in-law, my family, and they're kind of getting nervous on this. So I think a little bit of optimism from him is what we need right now, and I'm glad he did it. Don't know.
Bob, do you think there's anything legitimate in the virus being a danger and in the media and politicians holding elective office warning us about making sure we lay low and that we don't socialize and that we wash our hands and that kind of stuff? Where are you on that?
I really think this thing, I don't know if I can't say it's a hoax, but I don't believe, I don't believe the 100% of what the media says.
I'm not talking 100%, but are you 100% opposed to it?
No. We have to keep everybody safe, even if this thing is around. Some of the things I agree with, and some of them I don't.
But the challenge is you need two sides wrestling over it and trying to figure out where the middle ground is, don't you?
I can't believe that they're not coming to common ground on this that concerns Americans. A lot of people out of work, people living paycheck to paycheck, are very uncomfortable, and they can't come together and just, for once in their life, agree on one thing to help us. I can't believe what some of the stuff in that bill that they were trying to shove down our throats. It's unbelievable.
It's
so un-American.
It is, but this is where America is at right now. There's a kind of a ruthlessness that's set in around power. People see the wealth, they see the power, they've lost the sense of values and community and social obligation. And I think that it's hard when you look to leaders and you see they don't have any of that. And Democrats, I think, are painfully aware of how they don't reflect positively in this realm. And that's why they attack Trump so relentlessly and try to make him into such a boogeyman, because that's what they do. They try to shift everything onto their opponents that they're guilty of. Brenda, hi, you're next on WTIC.
Hi, Todd. Hey, I just want to remind people if they have any PPE, personal protection equipment, or any nitrile gloves or N95 respirators, even if it's for construction painting purposes. I just called my local hospital, and I'm bringing down a box of unopened nitrile gloves, and they were absolutely thrilled. So,
oh, that's nice. What are nitrile gloves? That's a term I haven't heard.
Instead of latex gloves, the nitrile ones, they're the ones you find in, DJs, Lowe's. They're just gloves, but the hospitals really use them, especially respirators, the N95 ones. So I would just ask that the listeners, if they check around their homes, if they have anything, maybe check their local clinics and hospitals, because they have, at least in Charlotte, Hungerford, an off-site drop-off place, and the woman was almost giddy that, you know, I had something to donate. They definitely need it.
That's wonderful. All right, Brenda, thank you for doing that, and thanks for letting us know about it.
All right, have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Mark, West Hartford. Hi, Mark.
Hey, two things. Well, first, I know where you can get some N95 masks right now in West Hartford. It's a Citgo station on the corner of New Britain Avenue and South Street. Mm-hmm. And I already called the mayor up in AG's office. The guy's selling them for $8 each. So the guy's prowling. Now, I don't mind toilet paper and milk and other things, but how could this guy live with himself? He's selling them for $8 each. He's got one taped to the window where he does his transactions.
What's their value? Do you know how much they cost?
In construction, I think typically you could get one for between 75 cents and a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, this again is like just an average consumer item. This is life-saving, where he knows what's going on. Obviously he does. That's why he's charging $8. I don't know
I argue in favor of capitalism. If he is able to sell them at $8 and keep them in stock at $8, it seems to me he's providing a service that other stores aren't. There aren't other stores selling them, are there?
Oh, I'm sure, you know what, knowing that this one is, I'm sure there are other ones that are. Now, are they more or less expensive? I don't know. Believe me, I'm right with you on that. In this case, sometimes we do have to separate ourselves from the norm, and this isn't normal behavior. Again, if it was orange juice and toilet paper, but not masks that are life-saving.
The point I'm making, Mark, is that he is actually providing a service by having these gloves. Is it gloves, you said, or masks? Masks there for $8, because if they weren't there, there'd be nowhere to buy them. And the only way he could keep them in stock is to charge enough so that he's got enough money to buy them from whatever his source is. I'm very much in favor of capitalism, and I'm very much opposed to arguments that people repeat because they have emotional impact, but they haven't really been thought through. The key to having free-moving prices in a market is to make sure there's enough money being generated at the point of sale to be able to get a replacement item to keep it in stock, you know, to keep the supply chain fed. If I'm making a mistake in this argument, let me know, but it seems to me impeccable. 860-522-9842. More coming up on WTIC. WTIC. 860-522-9842. Joining us is John. He's a nurse calling to talk to us about social distancing. Welcome to WTIC, John.
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm rocking. So what are your thoughts on this virus as somebody who works in the illness business?
Yeah, so my call is to sort of echo and reiterate a caller yesterday, Bernadette, a couple of her points regarding social distancing as it relates to the virus. And I think that, you know, yesterday during the press conference with the governor, the state epidemiologist stated, and this is paraphrased, that social isolation is going to slow the surge of cases and thereby reducing how overwhelmed the hospitals become over the next several weeks.
Right.
And he's correct. And I want to just, you know, point out what exactly overwhelmed means in this case over the next few weeks. So, you know, first of all, due to the lack of protective equipment, that the hospitals are getting. People are just walking into people's rooms. You know, healthcare workers are walking into people's rooms without knowing whether or not the equipment they have on is actually going to protect them or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just waltzing into people's rooms, to patients' rooms, with fear of uncertainty of what they might walk out of that room with.
Do you have any sense of why these supplies in the hospitals are so thin? Do they just, are they getting just what they need each week delivered and they're counting on every shipment?
Well, I think that they're conserving at this point because they're concerned about what could come over the next few weeks.
Okay. They're pacing
and
themselves.
They're concerned that, that nurses and doctors might be using, instead of giving them one mask per patient, they're giving them one mask per day, let's just say.
Yeah.
And, you know, the lack of ventilators and ICU beds is going to become a problem. The hospital infrastructure is not going to be able to handle the surge of cases. And if we don't strictly distance ourselves from one another, which may eventually and unfortunately end in forcing doctors to have to choose who lives and who dies.
Right. It's if it were, it would be a heartbreaking and outrageous situation if it came to that. And they've really been suffering. I think everybody understands that. There's just, it's hard to internalize something that's being predicted over a long period of time as a crisis. That's a, you know, it's like a tornado is coming and you keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and when's it going to hit? And it, and the stats aren't there to really support it yet, to make you scared. And the idea is they'll all come at once and then it falls apart quickly. And that's what seems to be the period we're entering right now.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason some people are not isolating is because they're saying to themselves, well, I feel fine, so, you know, I'm not going to just change my life around. But the reality of it is, even if you feel fine, you could very easily be spreading this illness to other people.
Well, the world is pretty empty if you go out. It's pretty amazing to see how effective this is.
No, I think we're doing a pretty good job. I was at Target earlier today, and, you know, there wasn't that many people there. But I just want to emphasize to sort of maintain that over the next, even if it's a few weeks, it could make a very big difference.
Yes, this is the key period, and this is the key period we don't want it to be spread, that where people should be practicing isolation and following the rules as best they can. So good point, John. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right.
Great to talk with you. So there you have it. There's another nurse speaking up on behalf of protecting the healthcare workers by making sure that you're not causing the disease to be spread. I know for some people that it's hard to believe that what he just said is real, that it's actually coming. I'm inclined to side on John's side. I'm more than inclined. I've been espousing it all, I don't know, 10 days or so. 2 weeks, yes? I don't know, a week and a half. And you know, that's where I am on it. But I also know that it's got to be over at some point, that we have to beat it and get the economy back. And that's a dangerous thing, too, having the economy shut down. So we've got a lot to work on right now. It's WTIC. All right. We are together again for a little while. The next half hour, you and I talk. Then Tom Scott, the great Tom Scott, joins us for a little while. Then 5:30, the president has a press conference scheduled. But you never know what the president, when his press conferences actually start. So we could actually have a nice big chunk of time together. We'll see. 860-522-9842. The bill that is supposed to become law soon, that they're working on in Congress, will provide cash payments of up to $2,400 per married couple with $500 per child. We'll include a $350 billion fund for small businesses to mitigate layoffs and support payroll, a $250 billion chunk of cash for healthcare relief, $75 billion in aid to hospitals, $20 billion in aid for health care for veterans, $20 billion in aid for emergency public transportation relief. I don't know what that one's all about. $10 billion in aid for airport relief, $4.5 billion in aid for the Centers for Disease Control, relief to airlines in the form of loans or grants, strengthened unemployment insurance, which potentially could add $600 per week for up to 4 months on top of what a state would give beneficiaries now, an inspector general to oversee the $500 billion pool of relief for ailing industries. That's what they are wrestling to get out of Congress right now. Philosophical question for you. I wonder, because I'm so against the government doing these things. I'm so resistant to it because, one, there's moral hazard. The more we do this stuff, the more everyone gets used to it, the more everybody expects that what goes wrong is not their responsibility. What goes wrong is the responsibility of the federal government. It's none of the federal government's business to be doing this stuff in our system of government, other than, say, looking for the supply chain for masks and other supplies, maybe doing things like that that the federal government can do, finding machines for the ICU beds, for the respirators. You know, the federal government has a limited role in our system of government, which is grossly distorted now. And I don't think that's healthy because all it does is feed on itself. Everybody is looking for the federal government to be doing things like providing endless amounts of money. And just a reminder, federal government is already $23 trillion in debt. The state of Connecticut already $124 billion in debt and rising fast. How does this process of bailout get mixed in your mind? How does it work? How does America survive where the mindset is there is no damage to individuals in our society? Government protects everything. And how do we continue to think of ourselves as America, land of liberty, when liberty is the opposite of having a government that takes care of everything? Because a government that takes care of everything takes all the money. And taking all the money is a big reduction of liberty. Is it not? 860-522-9842. Your reaction, please, to this going on. Does it concern you at all? Or are you just relieved? Are you getting excited about the $2,400? I mean, that's the real... that's the real sweet thing that you can, you know, you can look at and say, okay, there's something concrete. I can use that. It's fun to think about getting a check for $2,400 in the mail, especially if you don't really need it. That's where it gets fun, you know, when it's just recreational money. WTIC. All right, so we've got empty phone lines if you want to jump in. What is your reaction to these proposals to save the world? Good idea, bad idea? Should the federal government be doing this? Should the state be doing it? Should there be a minimal amount of help? I feel that we live in a time in which everybody, including governors, if you listen to Ned, he's always pointing to Washington, saying, where are they? Where's all the easy money? When's it coming? Governors wouldn't know how to lead a state if they had to lead a state. They had to figure these problems out. The Nancy Pelosi section that caused the shutdown of the bill yesterday, they thought they were going to pass this legislation yesterday, and it got held up because Democrats had some requirements, like $100 million for NASA, $20 billion for the Postal Service, $300 million for the Endowment for the Arts, $300 million for the Endowment for the Humanities, Veterans Employment Training, $15 million, $435 million for mental health support, $30 billion for the Department of Education, $200 million to Safe Schools Emergency Response to Violence Program, $300 million to public broadcasting, $500 million to museums and libraries, $720 million to the Social Security Administration, $25 million for cleaning supplies for the Capitol. Dirty place, I guess. I mean, does this make sense to you? $7.5 million for the Smithsonian for additional salaries. $35 million to the JFK Center for the Performing Arts. $25 million for additional salaries at the House of Representatives. $3 billion upgrade to the IT department at the Veterans Administration. $315 million for State Department diplomatic programs. $95 million. It goes on and on. But this is the nature of what the Democrats were shutting down the process of this bill for. $1 billion for airlines recycle and save programs. It's a money machine. That's how they view government today, as a money machine. And this money gets steered to the programs, to the people, to the agencies, to the voting blocks who are necessary and influential in getting certain parties reelected. And that's why this all makes me uncomfortable. And I would favor an approach that kept the federal government's hands off the whole thing as much as possible. That should be the federal response. And this is every day, not just when there's a crisis. Every day, this should be our habit. The federal government does nothing that it isn't constitutionally compelled to do, and that circumstances don't compel it to do. Circumstances would be, that is, if this is allowed to us under the Constitution, do we actually have to do it, or could this be happening at the state level? Oh, how beautiful life would be if we didn't have to send trillions of dollars to Washington for them to filter out their piece of the action and then send back pennies on the dollar. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Wouldn't it be wonderful if each state could collect its own tax revenues and be on its own? Imagine what would happen to Connecticut and the Democrats' plan of spending into oblivion without regard for the crisis it creates. What a beautiful thing it would be to have fiscally responsible government. And I don't know how we get it. I don't know how such a thing can even be fantasized about if we don't somehow start turning things around. When are we going to start turning things around? When is day one on this turning things around? Without day one, we can't have day two. And without day two, we can't have day three. And that's just how it goes. You got to start someday. And we're on the other side of this all the time. All the time we're on the other side of that. We don't start it. We keep going in the wrong direction. We don't start the turnaround. We keep going away from where we are supposed to be, where we want to be, and where a balanced budget might lie. I don't know. Will we ever get to a balanced budget? Will we ever see one again? I don't think so. I don't mean the fake balanced budget, where you figure out how to pay the debt service on the debt. I mean, like, no more debt. Let's clean it up. Let's get it done. That's what I'm looking for. All right, Tom Scott joins us in the next half hour. Don't forget about that. And then maybe the president of 530, maybe not.
All my wolves begin to howl. Wake me up, the time is now. Oh, can you hear the trumpet? Oh, there's a revolution coming. Wild things that turn me on.
Good evening. Let's go to Middletown. Joyce, you're on WTIC. Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm calling in because I am concerned that the public, you know, is not getting the right message, you know, with all the governor and all these state talks that they have been telling people about how businesses are closed. And it's, you know, the non-essential and essential services. And people are confused about what essential and non-essential is. I'm calling from Middletown, Connecticut, and Middletown is a food destination here in Connecticut. The streets are empty because people think that everything is closed. Mm-hmm. So they are not even coming out, you know, to even try and get any food at all or any drinks or any dessert. Whereas almost a lot of the restaurants are still open here doing curbside or doing delivery service or even takeouts.
Yep.
Right. My business is ice cream. We are the only ice cream place on Main Street, Middletown, with bubble tea. And people are not coming in because they don't know we're doing takeout. They think we're closed.
Well, that's on a day like this, can't you just take a portable dispenser out onto the sidewalk or something?
A portable dispenser?
Yeah, don't you have like something you do parties with or whatever where you can just be right out on the street and people can see you doing it?
No, our ice cream is one of those Thai rolled ice cream. We roll it on a machine and we serve it in a cup, so we can't stand out there on the curb.
What do you mean it rolls out on a machine? Is that how you make it?
Yeah, we make it on the spot.
No kidding.
Yeah, we make it on the spot, and then we put toppings on it. And we
make so you freeze it?
Here.
You freeze it to order?
Yeah, we have this cold plate. You remember Cold Stone Creamery?
Yeah.
Right, we have a different tasting ice cream, but it's pretty much the same concept. We actually pour the liquid ice cream onto a cold plate and we roll it in front of you. But because of this COVID virus and everything, we are doing takeouts now. So
yeah,
we prepare them in a cup. All right, we roll them in advance in the morning, fresh still for the day, and then we put it in a freezer, and then customers come in and we put toppings on it and they go.
All right, so what's the name of your store?
It's 0 Degree in Middletown.
Say it again, because there was a beep when you said that.
Okay, 0 Degree Middletown.
0 Degree.
I want to get the word out there that, you know, we are still open.
Yeah.
We're struggling, but we're still open.
What are your hours?
We are open regularly from 12 noon till 9 p.m. at night.
Right now, you're open till 9 at night?
Yeah, wow. We're still open till 9. Well, basically what happens is that I stay here. The staff is not working anymore.
Yeah, you
right,
do the whole thing.
We've got to cut down on whatever labor costs we can.
Joyce, that's amazing. Everybody get down to Middletown and get to see Joyce and have her carve some ice cream for you. Mold it, whatever she does. Push it out of the machine. Thank you, Joyce, for the call. 860-522-9842. Tom Scott coming up next. Hey, hey. WTIC, we might or might not hear from the president later on. He's not usually on time for a press conference, but always on time. Well, almost always on time. Tom Scott, political analyst extraordinaire. How are you, Thomas?
I'm doing well, Todd. Good to talk to you. And you revealed a moment ago with that caller, that small businesswoman from Middletown, that you're not exactly an ice cream connoisseur. I'm surprised.
I am. I love ice cream, but I don't know this. What did she call it? How does she make it? She folds it or something?
Yes, and I've actually driven by there, and I'm glad to see she's still in business, and that is an essential business.
Ice cream, yes, absolutely. You know what confused me is there's a place in West Hartford that uses some gas, and they freeze the ice cream to order, so they actually make the mix for you while you're standing there, and then it takes a few seconds, and they gas it, and it gets frozen, and that's very good. So I thought she might have been doing that.
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of people in a very creative mood and mode, and have been now for a couple of weeks, and more as we go forward. And this is the ingenuity of the American people, that people are stepping up and figuring out how to cope. And, you know, a lot of people, I mean, look at the unemployment filings that we've had in the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's serious. It's very serious. But those who are able and those who have a little capital and some wherewithal in terms of brick and mortar and so forth are stepping up. It's very interesting to watch.
Well, yes, I'm kind of excited about some of the silver linings that the virus could hold. And that's one of them. And one of them, I was thinking earlier about this and talking about it, that, you know, maybe there will be some changes in some structural things. Maybe some big businesses will fold. Maybe some government things will have to shut down, God forbid. But there just might be some flux, and that creates the opportunity for people to go fill in those holes.
Well, of course, there even can be some minor cultural changes. As the president said before he ran for office, he never liked to shake hands anyway. you know, the governor, Todd, you may have a different take on this, but I think so far the governor has been handling this about as well as could be expected, given his limited leadership capability. He has been surrounding himself with some people who give us some degree of confidence, at least in my opinion. He hasn't overreached. I mean, hell, he's kept package stores open and gun shops. So he hasn't completely gone over the top on this stuff yet.
Well, I think he wanted to. He was worried about his own popularity and security, yeah, maybe, with the booze. I mean,
well,
you can't,
you know,
shut down. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't know if you saw the photo in Newington. There's a great gun shop up there called Hoffman's Guns. Their slogan is "Guns for the Good Guys," and there were people out the door and, you know, well into the parking lot. And people may think, ah, it's all these preppers and this, that, and the other thing. Not really. It has more to do with the time of year. Now that the weather is getting warmer, skeet shooting in Connecticut is a big deal, and it's not unusual for some of these guys to go through 100 rounds in no time on a Saturday morning. And the turkey season is right around the corner, too. I think it opens up second or third week in May, or maybe the first week. I forget now. Smart bird, by the way. I think that one of my favorite founders, Benjamin Franklin, may have been onto something when he recommended the turkey as the national bird, as opposed to the scavenger, the eagle. A majestic bird also, but turkey are very, very smart. And you'd know that if you ever tried to harvest one.
Well, we'll keep an eye on them and see how they, if they know enough during the shoot to stay 6 feet away from the hunters.
Yeah. I don't know if you're ready for my pet peeve, which sometimes you invite me to.
Oh, I love your pet peeves. But it's like 30 seconds till traffic. Do you want to save it for after traffic?
I'll give you a hint, and it's something, unfortunately, we've had to talk to a lot of times, and that's the two misfits that Connecticut sends to the U.S. Senate, Chris Murphy and Dick Blumenthal. These guys ought to be ashamed of themselves with how they're conducting themselves in Washington during this crisis.
I think everybody's favorite two people to be upset about. So good subject there, Tom Scott. We'll continue with Tom after we get our traffic and weather together on the 8th, and then we're right back to it. And then we can talk more, too, about zero-degree ice cream. 860-522-9842. So we're talking to Tom Scott, and he's picking on the people you love to hear picked on most. So what exactly is your problem with the senators?
Well,
what have they done,
you know,
wrong?
A little context, Todd. I know that there are a fair number of people from the Greatest Generation who listen to your show because, you know, when I filled in for you in the past, I've been called by people. Not only people who were of military age during the Second World War, but people who were young children during that time. And if they called your show today, I'll bet you they would acknowledge that even those citizens who disagreed with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, it wouldn't even occur to them to viciously attack the commander-in-chief during a time of war as these people are attacking President Trump during this national emergency. And it's an embarrassment to the world, really, to see guys like Dick Blumenthal. A little word about Dick Blumenthal. He, you know, they're holding out on this big bill in Washington, which extends unemployment compensation, loans to small business people. Basically, we want to keep people on the payroll, even if they're home. And a lot of that money is going to get paid back, but frankly, a lot of it's not going to be paid back. They're holding out for a Christmas tree of left-wing goodies, and they're using this national crisis as people are dying and getting sick to try to get this agenda through in a very sleazy parliamentary way. And Dick Blumenthal is very much involved in this. And when he goes on TV and talks about we little people and the working people, let me tell you who this phony is. His family owns the Empire State Building. I don't know if you know that or if your listeners know that. And nothing against wealth, by the way. I'm talking about a phony guy. He lives in a gated community in Greenwich. He has nothing in relationship with the people that work in factories at places like Pratt and Whitney. The guy's an empty suit, and he ought to be ashamed of himself the way he's dragging down this country and Murphy during this time of national crisis. And I know that Trump, you know, misspeaks a lot, and he, you know, he counterpunches even sometimes when I don't think he should, but that's just a personal opinion. The fact is, he's managing this crisis as best he can, and thank God he's got Pence there helping him, and Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and a lot of these other experts. But Murphy and Blumenthal are in the way. They're a couple of political misfits and hacks, and it's an embarrassment to the state of Connecticut that these people are speaking for us. They don't. I'll tell you this: they certainly don't speak for me.
But Tom, is there anything unique about what the senators do compared to their fellow Democrats? It seems to me this is a standard playbook. So if you have ire for those two, then you've got to look at the whole of the Democrats in Congress and say, what the heck? There's $100 billion for rental assistance in this measure that, well, at least that the Democrats want to have in it. Homeless assistance. Everything they care most about.
They're all in on it, but these two in particular, and Todd, I try to be objective about this, okay? I'm from Connecticut, so maybe those two resonate a little more than, say, Joe Manchin from West Virginia. But the reality is when you stack these two up against all these other misfits in the U.S. Senate, in fact, Senator Kennedy from Louisiana said last night on the floor of the Senate, I don't know if you caught this quote, he said, the people of America view the founders of this country as geniuses, but they view the people that are running the Senate now as a bunch of idiots. Now, you talk about putting senatorial courtesy aside. Good for him, because that's exactly how I see it as well.
What a spectacular comment that is. I love it.
Yeah, he's very quotable, by the way. If you ever there's a guy to get to know. He's one of the most quotable members in either party in the U.S. Senate. He can really turn a phrase very quickly.
So, Tom, my concern about all this bailout fever is that none of it or most of it will not be. There'll be no ability to turn it back. It will be permanent policy. How do you stop this stuff from becoming permanent?
Well, it was, what was it, Rahm Emanuel or one of these guys around Clinton?
Yeah, it was Rahm.
Never let a crisis go to waste. And it is shameless what they're doing in the Senate and in the House, by the way, with Speaker Pelosi, where they're sneaking in multi-million-dollar appropriations for things that have literally nothing to do with attacking this virus, such as rehabbing an opera house in Washington, D.C., because she likes to go there with her rich friends, for example. It is shameless what they're doing, and it is good that the Republicans in the Senate, at least so far, are holding out and saying, not now. You know, you guys want to come back with a legitimate bill? We'll debate it, but not now. You can't be putting all this stuff in this bill that has nothing to – it wouldn't otherwise pass, by the way. And the opportunism of these people to abuse the American taxpayers this way during this time of crisis, they really need to pay a political price for this. And I hope they do when things get back to normal.
All right, Tom Scott, thank you, sir. Always good to talk
Anytime.
With you.
Anytime.
That is Thomas Scott, former state senator and regular participant in the program here on WTIC. Let's take some phone calls, 860-522-9842. James in
Hi, Todd.
Hello, James. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'd just like to point out that our government has, in about 100 years, I guess I'd go back to World War One, a little bit more than 100 years, has gone from asking its citizens to sacrifice through rationing meat, sugar, coffee, no more zoot suits. Now they want to give everybody a check. I completely understand there are some instances where financial aid is needed in a crisis like this, but maybe I speak for more than myself. My grandmother would just sit there and say, have you no shame when you cash that check? And I'll just leave it at that, man.
Well, that whole ethos is gone. We've purged that sense of personal responsibility out of our society, and that's the really sad part of what you're describing, James.
Right on. Sad.
All right, thank you, sir, for the call. Good to hear from you, John and Tolland. Hi, John.
Hey, Todd. You know, as a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, I'm totally against these kind of spending bills. But when you look at the fact that we have a $23 trillion debt, mm-hmm. when we have not had a debt neutral budget passed since 1996. No, I'm for the spending, because what the hell is another $2 trillion if it can keep us out of a recession or a depression? Neither party has shown a willingness to control the debt. That's why the debt clock keeps going up each and every
year. Yes, but if you don't start, if things are tight at home, you don't say, well, what the heck? Let's just go out for a steak dinner instead of pot.
Todd, I get that. And here's what I say to this bill. If we're going to pass this bill and we're going to bail out these big companies, then the government should mandate that we own a stake in those companies until they pay it back. That should be common sense, but that won't even be in this bill. But you know what? Republicans got to own the fact that they can't control spending either. When George Bush was in office with a House controlled by Republicans, he increased spending. They've all done it. It's been going on for 35 years. I don't see how it's ever going to stop unless, one, we implement term limits, because Jefferson said that if you have a career politician, you will become corrupt. And that's what's happening. So I don't know what easy way out there is for this, but just to say, should we do it or not, I think this is the one case where I think it's worth a shot. So that's all I got for you, buddy. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you so much for making it, for feeling so much about something so important. Yeah, we need to become a responsible society once again. I don't know what the path is except for us to pressure them.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.